Hey everyone, fun news. I was recently a guest on the Just Great podcast You're Wrong About, talking, what else, but killer clowns to kick off this Halloween season. Because I don't know about you, but no matter what happens, I'll never give up on Halloween. Mike Hobbs and Sarah Marshall are super smart and hilarious journalists obsessed with the past. Every week, they reconsider a person or event that's been miscast in the public imagination. It's so much like American Hysteria that I consider it a sibling show. They talk about everything and everyone from Tonya Harding to Coco the gorilla, from sexting to acid rain, and of course, the satanic panic. I was very stoked to be invited to talk with these two about one of my and probably one of our favorite topics, dear listener. If you listen to our episode about phantom clowns, some of you will be familiar with this topic already, but I hope you'll still come listen to me and my pals dissect this cultural archetype and have a lot of fun doing it. Definitely go subscribe to You're Wrong About wherever you listen to podcasts, and now, here it is. Killer clowns with You're Wrong About.
I think millennial sexuality was very influenced by Tim Curry. Welcome to You're Wrong About, the show where we made an episode and then we made another episode and then we kept making episodes, and this is our 100th episode. Oh my goodness. I'm very proud of us. I had vague ideas I was going to bake a cake for this moment, but Nope, just sitting here drinking a Diet Coke in my closet.
But that's kind of like a cake, though.
I think Congress could agree that it's a cake, the same way ketchup is a vegetable.
I am Michael Hobbs. I'm a reporter for the Huffington Post.
I'm Sarah Marshall. I'm working on a book about the Satanic Panic.
All of this is an intro to our 100th episode, which is about killer clowns, with a wonderful guest.
Yeah, I feel like this episode is like a nice topper for our 100th episode anniversary cake, because It's about a moral panic. Mm-hmm. It is about issues that are about as serious as you can get. Mm-hmm. And it's also really ridiculous.
And it's also about the friends we made along the way, because this show brought Chelsea to us, right?
Yeah. And This is, it's in the same way that it's bizarre that we've never done a Menendez Brothers episode to this point. It's amazing that it took us 100 episodes to do a crossover with our beloved sibling show, American Hysteria.
Yeah.
And its host, Chelsea Weber Smith.
Yes.
Who is about to tell us about killer clowns.
So enjoy, and we will see you for the next 100.
Yeah. Meet you back here at our 200th episode special. I will make a cake for that. I probably will.
Today, we have a special guest and a special topic.
Yes, we do. Hi, I'm Chelsea Weber Smith, and I do a podcast called American Hysteria, where we cover moral panics, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and American fantastical thinking.
Ooh.
All those things come together, and we try to explore false fears of Americans and why they happen when they do.
I feel like you're like a carnival barker for your podcast, like the millennial... Our podcast, The Millennial Carnivals.
Ooh.
Hey, come one, come all.
I have been binging Chelsea's show all week, and it is wonderful, and people should check it out.
But yeah, and we are talking about, I would call this Killer Clowns, I suppose. What title would you give this?
We called our episode on this Phantom Clowns, and I think that's sort of like the original, when the original, Lauren Coleman is his name, he was the only one really who wrote about the 80s. Panic, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, and he called them phantom clowns, so I stuck with that.
Okay, so I was not aware that there was a panic. I am aware of the phobia of clowns, but I do not have it.
Mike, I'm gonna do something for you right now, actually, before we jump into the clown panic. So I have a kids encyclopedia book from the 60s called Great Days of the Circus.
Okay.
And I'm just going to turn my camera on for a second and show you some pictures of clowns in makeup.
Are you trying to terrify me right now?
I'm trying to unsettle you, Mike, like always. Okay.
Oh, there they are.
Oh, God, the one with teeth. Jesus Christ.
Well, the thing I find really striking about these pictures close in on their face, I think what that made me realize is that, like, oh, clowns weren't meant to be seen close up, were they? Like, clowns were meant to be seen from far, far away.
Yeah, this is what Trixie Mattel always says about drag queens, too.
But right. and that clowns, you know, they have these exaggerated, intense facial features because they're conveying like one basic emotion and sort of like a broad comedic emotion to the back row.
Right.
I think the circus is also like a scary and dark place that was like sold as wholesome entertainment for a long time in a way that was jarring.
Yeah. Circuses are like genuinely terrifying.
Right.
Because of all the animal cruelty and like the weird economics and labor exploitation.
There's so many things to be scared of at the circus. I'm scared of how the elephants are suffering.
Sarah, do you have a killer clowns thing? Do you have a phobia?
No, I mean, I feel like there are a few different things at play here, right? Because there's like an actual phobia of clowns, which is a named thing. I forget what it's called.
Choralphobia.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't it just clownophobia? That'd be so much easier.
Well, they had to make it hard. But whatever. So like, yeah, there's clownophobia. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like there's a lot of media and like cute shirts and stuff in the 90s that were like clowns are scary, haha.
Yes.
And this idea that like it was weird to find clowns scary and kind of like quirky. Mm-hmm. And even if you like clowns, and like I really like clowns, actually I think clowns are really neat. I'm appreciative of the art of clowning, but like if a clown in full makeup meant to be seen from far away got in my face, I would be like, please go far away again.
Back up.
Or like tone down your look.
So were clowns always scary, or were they fun for a while and then they became scary?
They weren't scary before. I think we'll go back a little bit later in the episode to what the clown was before this, but to just sort of start in a really American context, and more recently, the 1960s, the experience of the clown was completely different from today. Clowns were not scary, period. I mean, in the 60s, Bozo the Clown, who is absolutely horrifying. He just has like these giant arched eyebrows and big red hair. And it's just, in some ways, it's scarier than It. But there was a 10-year wait for kids to get tickets to see his live show.
So like you start to talk about having a baby and you're like, we got to get in line for Bozo tickets.
What actually was Bozo the Clown? This was like a Las Vegas performer or something? What? I don't even know who Bozo the Clown was.
I think you're thinking of Dean Martin.
Well, he was basically just the original clown show on television.
Oh, so he was a TV show. Okay.
So he sparked a franchise, which I think is super interesting. They franchised out his image. So actors in any city could put on their own Bozo show.
So it's like Camp Krusty.
Exactly. It's like Camp Krusty.
Yeah.
I want to get a visual of Bozo. Let's all look up Bozo the Clown.
Because this guy is the archetype for everything scary, I think, that came after.
Oh, you were not kidding. Like, I was expecting, I didn't think that I wouldn't find him scary, but I really didn't think I would find him this scary.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
The eyebrows are really upsetting.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like more arched in the middle, which is like more alarming.
Oh, God.
It's a really exaggerated, big red, upturned mouth shape.
Also, the lack of head hair. He has these giant, like 3 foot long, almost like pigtails coming off of the sides of his head, but he has no hair on the top of his head, which is really unsettling.
Which is It, which is Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah.
Ronald McDonald came out of Bozo.
He burst out of his chest and then scurried away.
Yeah.
Exactly. Willard Scott was the first Ronald McDonald, and he was originally a Bozo in Washington, D.C.
Huh.
And then private contractors and volunteers everywhere would become clowns throughout the 60s and 70s, and it was like a pretty lucrative industry. You know, we see all these old shows of clowns coming to birthday parties, and that was super normal, and one of those people was John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Mm-hmm. I did not know this. He was a clown?
He was Pogo, right?
He was Pogo, exactly. And Pogo was just something, like something he did at children's hospitals and parties and stuff, and he was really known in the community as like a great guy who was great with children and had a nice family and a nice job. And so, of course, if you all don't know, John Wayne Gacy was a serial killer in the mid to late 70s, and he murdered and sexually assaulted at least 33 teenage boys and young men, and their bodies were found in his crawl space under his home that he lived in with his wife. But of course, like, as you might imagine, this guy who did dress as a clown, and there's a super iconic picture of him dressed as Pogo the Clown, and that was what the media grabbed onto. That was like the red meat of the story, was a killer clown.
And then it was like, oh, the irony. Like, isn't it strange that he dressed as a clown to bring children joy and was also a murderer? Like, it feels like that the media latched onto that came from a sense of like that it was ironic in a way that it's hard to connect with now.
Well, and of course, as you guys know, what was happening at the same time in the late 70s was the beginning of like three moral panics, which are Stranger Danger, the Gay Panic, and Satanic Panic.
The Triple Crown.
So a gay pedophile luring children while dressed as a clown is perfect.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the clown, I feel like the clowning is has gotten conflated with his identity, with his like activities as a serial killer. And it's like, no, I think the clown thing was like him trying real hard to be normal.
Yeah.
And to be a good person and to sort of perform the actions of a good person. Like, look, good people dress as clowns and bring joy to the children.
Yeah, he's a community man, right? But what he was doing is he was getting teenagers and young men to come and work for him, construction jobs. And that was how it, you know, it's like not very sensational. So the media just made him into sort of a killer clown. And one of the best things, and I would bet my whole life that this was never said and that this was made up, but when he was arrested, he was reported to have said, you know, clowns can get away with murder.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
No. That's so silly. I mean, like, it could have happened. Lots of things could have happened, but like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like, if you're writing like a straight to video horror movie in the 80s, come on, how do we end this thing?
Yeah.
What's the stinger?
Because was he a clown for a long period of time?
It wasn't core to his identity. He was more of a serial killer.
Yeah.
I think children catch snippets, right? And they have to translate it through their little 7-year-old brains. And they're hearing and seeing, no matter what, pictures and stories about a clown that kills children, because that was the narrative. So I think that that seeped into the consciousness of both adults and children.
Right. So the link was made between clowning and killing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it was like you're having clowns and serial killers.
Right.
So I think these things, they were just a perfect recipe for what would come soon after that, which was the first panic.
About clowns? The first panic about clowns?
Yes. About phantom clowns.
Phantom clowns.
Are you guys ready to go into that?
Yes.
Okay.
So ready. I feel like we're about to enter the Haunted Mansion ride. I'm like, I'm so scared, but I'm so excited.
So John Wayne Gacy was sentenced to death in 1980. And it was, again, like a very, very public trial. So the very, very next year, it was April of 1981. It was kids in Boston. And they started reporting men in vans dressed as clowns that were trying to lure them with candy.
Vans,
drink.
Ding, ding, ding.
So then here's the thing, right? So you guys will probably remember how during the Satanic Panic, the original mother and child, whose names will escape me, who were reporting abuse in daycare, sparked the police to send a letter home to everyone saying, hey, this is happening. Did this happen to you?
At the McMartin preschool.
Yeah.
That was, McMartin was the one where the police sent a letter to all the parents. And we're like, these very specific things may have happened to your child. Here's a long list of them that includes, I believe, the phrase anal sodomy.
Yeah.
But we don't know. And don't ask your kids about it. And don't talk about it amongst yourselves or with anyone else well by. And that was a great plan.
So anyway, Boston Public School District sends out memos telling parents to keep a close eye on their children because clowns are trying to kidnap them.
Wait, they literally warned parents about clowns?
Yes, that they needed to keep an eye on their children because there had been reports of clowns trying to lure them with candy.
Oh, boy.
Calls just started flooding in. There were so many reports that police began profiling clowns.
Oh,
and
really?
And they started following and pulling over clowns.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. There were, like, so many clowns.
Yeah.
There was a lot of birthday clowns that they pulled over, but they never found anything nefarious.
And if you're driving between birthdays, I mean, I assume, like, you're just going to be in makeup the whole day, right?
It is very similar to the sort of child sex trafficking panic that we have now, where you're like, someone tried to traffic me at the grocery store. And then you hear the actual story and it's like, a person came up to me and asked for directions.
Yeah.
And it's like this completely normal story. I can see that being the same thing that happened then, where it's like, I saw a killer clown, but it's actually literally just like a 40-year-old man in clown makeup driving from one party to the other.
Absolutely. So, okay. So more clown sightings happen, and they started happening all over the Northeast, sort of, and even in the Midwest, like Kansas City, there was a clown chasing children with a sword.
Nice.
This is my favorite one. In Boston, the day after the story started airing on TV, they were called to the park to investigate a clown that was reportedly just naked from the waist down. I don't know if he was wearing shoes, but of course, there was no pantsless clown identified or found.
Mm-hmm.
So coming kind of at the same time as this clown panic, Ronald Reagan, I think he had just won the election. He was very much a representative of this uncanny valley thing that I think we'll talk about a little bit more later. And people kind of remember him as having like red cheeks and that like too polished veneer that almost rendered him a little animatronic.
Wait, are you saying Ronald Reagan was a clown? Like he fit the clown aesthetic?
So here again, this is just me. So at the same time this was happening where he seems like he's a little bit play acting.
Mm-hmm.
And some people talk about how he was kind of creepy.
Our first Stepford president.
This is very cultural studies PhD, and I'm extremely here for it. I fucking love theories like this. Wasn't Ronald Reagan the real killer clown?
I mean, he was. He literally was, right?
He was.
Because he was also this beloved figure because he had been in kind of cheesy movies in his career as an actor and then had been this charismatic megafauna as governor of California and was just very telegenic. I feel like that was something that people were very aware that he was pioneering also, this like telegenic presidency that was style over substance and had pretty devastating consequences.
I mean, he killed a lot more people than John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, he had like the red cheeks and his hair was so molded and weird. He did. He looked like his animatron in the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland.
Mm.
Also, I mean, not a lot of people know that Ronald Reagan's campaign slogan in 1984 was "Everything floats down here." Another parallel.
But anyway, I don't know. It's like he had like a very polished veneer and it's like this the creepy crafted perfection of politics. We all see it. And I imagine children interpret it, you know, in a certain way as well.
You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. Trump also was coming into office as the other clown panic happened. And that's sort of why I bring it up.
It's like the clowns are like a naturally produced like urban legend warning sign of like, oh, no, we're about to have a really, really bad administration.
Right.
Well, speaking of harbingers, shall we go into horror movies?
Yes. My favorite place.
So I think Poltergeist, it was in 1982. So it was like right after all this clown stuff. And it was kind of the first representation of a clown being scary. And it's that clown doll that pulls the boy, I don't know his name, I can't remember it, under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
That was really scary. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Mike, have you seen Poltergeist?
I'm Googling clown doll Poltergeist because I'm still too scared to see that movie.
It's a fantastic scene that I'm going to describe to you verbally because I don't want to ask you to see it.
No.
It's this beautiful, suspenseful scene where the boy is like looking under the bed. You're like, sure, there's going to be something under the bed. He like looks down. There's nothing there. And then he like gets up and the clown's behind him.
Yeah, I this is the still that I have in front of me on Google Images. Mm-hmm. It looks terrifying.
Tell us about this clown.
It seems to be made of like porcelain or something plasticky. And it's got like a big toothy grin and big bozo eyebrows. Oh, ew. And like long arms and legs.
Arms that get magically long to strangle you with.
In the same way, like Children of the Corn is creepy because it's like these images of innocence that are out to kill you. The idea of something that is perpetually smiling while also trying to murder you is just like the incongruity makes it that much scarier.
That's also why dolls are creepy, I think.
We're so naturally afraid of things that can't feel empathy.
Huh.
The very basis of our communication with people is like, what is your facial expression?
Right.
And if it's incongruent with the actions, then you're like, oh, you're like super dangerous. You're not committing an act of passion. You're not like punching somebody because they said something mean. You're like calculatingly wanting to harm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so back to horror, because Stephen King then published It in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Pennywise the Clown, who now has become a new yet again, giant cultural icon. Mm-hmm. Pennywise was the central villain. And I think what Stephen King really nailed in this was that the clown morphed into like a personalized worst fear of each child.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to say about it? Like, what was your experience originally? Did you read the book or was it more the movie for you, Sarah?
It's funny. I didn't see the movie or read the book until I was like in my late 20s. And that book features protagonists who start out at 11 years old when we first meet them, and then we return and they're like 36, 37.
Yeah.
And there's a real theme of repressed memory there. Like, I really wondered how much Stephen King kind of was influenced by the zeitgeist in telling a story about these characters who basically did battle with this shape-shifting monster who often took the form of Pennywise the clown, and who didn't remember any of the first time or didn't remember their childhoods in this town or this friendship that they had with each other. And then the memories come back as they come back to fight it again. And repressed memories are so central to the satanic panic. So this feels like a satanic panic informed story to me, too. What do you think about that?
I think about that all the time. Every single morning I wake up and say, was Stephen King influenced by the satanic panic?
Yeah. And then you do your skincare, and then you're like, but he was. He totally was.
I think he had to have been informed by every moral panic that was going on at that time. Mm. I wanted to also mention, that's a good transition, because Pennywise, I believe, was also influenced heavily by Ronald McDonald. And I have a little bit of proof. I found an old McDonald's commercial that very, very closely, in my opinion, resembles the very iconic scene with Georgie, who's the younger brother of the main character who goes missing. We see him meet Pennywise in the sewer.
Oh, my God. I want to see Ronald McDonald in the sewer so bad. Okay.
So I think we're going to let Mike take a look at that.
All right. You sending me?
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Why? Isn't that McDonald's hamburger delicious?
Hi, Georgie. Don't you want a balloon?
Mom told me never to talk to strangers.
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers. My dad said so.
Well, your brother's right as always.
Very wise of your dad, Georgie. Very wise indeed.
I'm Ronald McDonald. Give me a McDonald's shake.
I, Georgie, am Pennywise, the dancing clown. You are Georgie. So now we know each other. Correct?
You're no stranger. You really are Ronald McDonald.
Oh, God. I can't tell which one is more terrifying.
Yeah. And I think the thing about Pennywise, too, is that all of these characters who come back home as adults are confronting Pennywise at the same time that they're confronting their childhood traumas and, you know, the dynamic trauma that they still carry with them from childhood that they have maybe repressed or not dealt with, but like their home and it's back and Pennywise is still in the sewer. Like, I feel like Pennywise is so effective as a scary monster because, like, all scary monsters that like are sticky and like stick in the culture. Mm-hmm. The thing about Pennywise is that he's synonymous with childhood trauma. Like, he manifests as your worst fear, and he knows how to terrify you with his knowledge of what your parents did to you or of the worst traumas that you have experienced. And so to be afraid of Pennywise, it's not silly, right? Because Pennywise is connected with human trauma itself.
Right.
So a lot of people blame the It book for the Phantom Clown Panic, but obviously, as we see, it came 5 years later. Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump forward a little bit to 2008, just to sort of show how clowns have transformed from jolly, happy children's entertainers to really, really scary. So there was a study conducted in 2008 where they polled 250 children who were aged 4 to 6, and they were trying to decorate a hospital wing for children. And they were trying to figure out how the children would like the decor to look. And every single child said that they did not want clowns to be part of the decor.
Oh, wow.
Every single child.
So it's like the end of clowns as child entertainment. It's the end of clowns as pure, happy fun. Like, that just isn't a thing that exists anymore. It's always complicated.
I bet a lot of professional clowns hate Stephen King.
Yeah, I wonder.
Can we do, I know that this is a little out of order, but can we go a little bit into the history of the clown? Because we talk about how, like, clowns used to be lovable childhood entertainers, but that's not what they were.
Oh.
They do this ebb and flow thing because the archetype of the fool, right, that stretches across time.
Right.
It dates back to ancient times, and across most, if not all, cultures, there is this sort of creation known as the fool or the wise fool.
Like a court jester type of situation.
Yes. This is so interesting to me. Ancient Greece had an actual profession where a man would come to funerals and do impressions and crack jokes at the expense of the dead person and make fun of the mourners and the family.
So it's like a funeral slash roast?
Yes.
Amazing.
So essentially, this clown would show up and do that. And sort of the idea was that if you're roasting dead people and the community that's mourning, it would help vent the anxieties about death. And with sort of this transgression, it really helped vent sort of the darkness and sadness of death.
Right. That's also the origin of your mom jokes.
Exactly.
At people's funerals. It's just fucking brutal.
So the other roots, like you mentioned, Mike, are in, you know, the royal kingdom in England. And clowns were known as court jesters and also wise fools. And they were really respected because they, as much as they were goofballs and joked around, they also were known to hold kind of like a crude wisdom. Mm. They were allowed to make fun of the king without being tortured or killed. Mm-hmm. And they, not only that, but they were political advisors to the king because they were allowed to speak plainly.
I mean, it's sort of similar now to this stance that people like Jon Stewart take, where it's like, oh, I'm just a comedian. I'm not really a political actor. When humor has always been political, and humor has always been profoundly influential on the way that we think about things.
Right. And the idea that humans, like, used to be fundamentally different, you know, in this, like, deeply human way. It's like, no, like this is why, to return inevitably to the topic of scary movies, like, scary movies to me are much scarier when characters are telling jokes and behaving like human beings. If they're, like, grim and, like, serious the whole time, I'm like, well, this really takes me out of it, because, like, I wouldn't be like that. Because why the Blair Witch Project is so scary, because they're, like, telling silly jokes and yelling at each other like human beings do under duress.
So this is just another fun fact. This was actually found out because my partner, who's a producer on our show, also was reading about the history of circus music. She informed me that the classic clown song, and you know it,
is it loop doo 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 doo. The classic clown song, loop doot doot loot loot doot doo doo.
Perfect. Beautiful. So that song was composed in 1897 in Czechoslovakia, and its original name is The Entrance of the Gladiators.
Oh.
And it was a military march. But
what?
It was played, like, it was played really slow. So it was like dun 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 dun.
Oh my god.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Oh my god.
But get ready for this. When the clowns came out and used it, it was like a faster tempo. And when the clowns come out in the circus, the name of the song they come out to is called a screamer.
And they say they're not trying to be scary.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's perfect.
Yes. Like, I don't think anything has ever made me so happy. So obviously this started out as, like, an ironic thing, because people are like, oh, it's so funny. They're playing our old favorite song, loop doot doodle loot loot doot doo. Fast. Like, that's so weird and ironic.
Yeah.
It's like, it used to
it
be
is.
Ironic for a serial killer to clown in his free time, as opposed to just being a appropriate.
So now I want to talk about one of my most favorite things in the world, and maybe you guys have talked about it, but it's the Uncanny Valley.
We have not talked about
We have
about
not
this.
Talked about that on this
well,
show.
Good.
So please take us there.
So the Uncanny Valley is an aesthetics theory that it's that thing where you are witnessing something that's human or like a humanoid, and it's close. It's like human, but it's not. And it's what inspires like eeriness, that discomfort you feel when looking at animatrons or dolls or clowns.
Like when you check into a nice bed and breakfast and there's a Victorian doll in a chair facing you.
Yeah.
As you get into bed,
right.
And you're like, I'm just going to turn this object around.
It's like the idea that when something is distinctly not human, it's less unsettling than when it becomes closer and closer to being realistic.
Right.
I think of it as like the difference between The Incredibles and the Polar Express.
Huh.
That in The Incredibles, all of the humans are super stylized.
Yeah.
No one is fooled. They're like, are those real humans or not? But then the Polar Express, they're trying to be like, you can't even tell that it's a computer, but you fucking can, and it's weird.
Right. And it evokes a feeling in us of like, I don't know how many of you are things and how many of you are human.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And so the Uncanny Valley has, like, nobody can say definitively what it is, why those things creep us out and make us feel really uncomfortable. But there are a few theories that I think are really interesting. One of them is that perhaps it looks to us or may remind us of a dead body, which we want to avoid, or someone who may be infected with something like rabies.
Mm.
We are naturally repelled from things that could be dangerous. Another theory is that it has to do with empathy. So these things that are a little inhuman are more difficult to empathize with or read empathy from. There's like a feeling of being like a little bit soulless. So there's a lot of mistrust that we're naturally biologically programmed to have when we're like, there's something off here and it could be something that's dangerous.
Right. It's like when somebody doesn't blink.
Yeah. Like Charles Manson, not a fan of blinking. Unsettling guy. Oh. Yeah.
So now this is the part that I love the most about the Uncanny Valley, the theory that I love the most. And it has to do with like, what is creepiness, right? What is eeriness? Mm. It's different than fear. Mm. We know that it's a completely separate feeling.
Right.
So we think of creepiness sometimes as like, say you're on a bus and there's a dude staring at you, right? Like, you're not purely scared. You're just like creeped out, right? Mm-hmm. It's about assessing a threat. So our social norms say that we can't scream and freak out because that would possibly be rude or it would be outside of what's acceptable. So we kind of sit there and we're just doing this like reconnaissance, right? So we're keenly aware of this threat and we're watching for more information. And so it kind of creates like a little bit of an error message in our brains because we don't know what to do. Mm. And so it's kind of like a creepy threat is ambiguous.
Right. Clowns are a good example of this, of course, because they have all of the features of humans, but they're all a little bit exaggerated. They're just a little bit off. Like their eyebrows are really wide. Their smile is really wide.
Totally.
It feels to me like now the well is poisoned. I feel like people now associate clowns with freakiness more than they associate them with joy and happiness and kids' birthday parties, right?
Absolutely. And then there's also, do you guys know about supernormal stimuli?
What?
No.
And I think this could explain why clowns have been beloved and despised. So we got the Uncanny Valley on one hand. On the other hand, we have this thing called supernormal stimuli, which is, it's a psychological concept that explores how we are naturally more attracted to things that are exaggerated and blown up, which is like Disneyland.
Hmm,
we want to watch these sort of dramatic, you know, theater, the history of art. We want to see more drama. And the main study that was done was with birds. They gave birds that had these small spotted eggs, giant eggs with giant polka dots on them, and they chose to abandon their eggs and go sit on these other eggs. So, you know, and they have all these other tests with fish that have like brighter colors.
Mm.
So it's like we will go to the fake if it's blown up and exaggerated. So I think that there's that attraction because the clown is nothing if not a blown up version of a person.
You know, we were talking about horror movies earlier and it feels like clowns have always been appealing, you know, in a few different ways. But one of them is the way that horror movies are appealing. Where like, you know, it's just like this anarchic experience of watching someone break the rules of the society that you are in and getting to have some kind of cathartic experience through this. So it's, I don't know, maybe clowns are for grownups.
Ooh.
I mean, they were, as we were talking about, they were not children's entertainers, I think, really until maybe the circus, but even the circus was like not just for children.
But the circus is like everybody goes, right? The circus comes and you're like, well, I'm a servant in Hartford, Connecticut. So I'm going to go to the circus on my day off because these illustrated posters have promised me fantastical things.
The circus was for people who fucking hated elephants.
That too. Or who people who just wanted to see an elephant and didn't know how the elephant had gotten there.
But I mean, you think about dolls, right? Dolls have also had this journey.
Dolls have also had a rough go of it culturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're another thing that's like been ruined by horror movies.
Definitely.
Chucky was the end of us earnestly enjoying dolls.
Absolutely. You ever notice how finding time and energy to do the most basic human necessity, eat literal food, has become just another exhausting task jammed into our increasingly inhuman schedules? Well, your spring can be a little more stress-free with Factor. Factor will provide you with delicious, never frozen, ready to eat gourmet meals that are chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Each week, you get to choose from a menu of 35 options to create your perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner with absolutely no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. And Factor makes sure you get exactly what you want. You can tailor deliveries to your schedule and customize how many meals you want each and every week, and you can pause anytime. So just head to factormeals.com/AmericanHysteria50 and use code AmericanHysteria50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code AmericanHysteria50 at factormeals.com/AmericanHysteria50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Check out Factor today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, how about we talk about the 2016 panic?
Yes, please.
I'm not even aware that there was a 2016 panic. I was alive. I did not see this at all. What is this?
What were you doing, man?
It was huge.
Is this, do I have to be on Tumblr? How do I find this?
No. It was in the news. It was like, I'd say Facebook was the transmission.
Sake. You weren't friends with scared Facebook people, Mike.
Yeah.
So what was this?
All right, so this came in 2016. A lot of people were like, oh, it's because it came out, but it's not because it came out in 2018.
Oh.
So part of what people believe sparked it was, outside of sort of cultural consciousness, was the low budget horror director named Adam Krause.
Okay.
He had a creepy clown stand in the street holding black balloons trying to make a viral marketing campaign for his short film, which was called Gags. And then a bunch of people called the police and started taking pictures, spreading on social media. Another possible beginning point was, have you guys watched the, Mike, you probably haven't, but Sarah, have you watched the Wrinkles the Clown documentary on Hulu?
I have not.
What is it?
So Wrinkles was this character created by someone who has remained anonymous. He is just kind of seems like a normal dude. And they started filming like creepy clown stuff and spreading it like found footage. So he put up all these stickers that said Wrinkles the Clown with a phone number. And you could call this phone number and there was a creepy message, or he would actually answer the phone. And, you know, he was like hey kids, look, kind of voice. And, and he also kind of created this idea that parents could call so that they're to scare their kids into obedience.
Uh-huh.
So parents would actually call and leave messages, not actually wanting Wrinkles to come, but you can hear the kid just like crying and screaming in the background, just being like, we're going to call Wrinkles. We're going to have him come over if you don't eat your dinner.
Oh, wow.
But it was a boogeyman scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was coming a couple years before the actual panic. So 2016, we've got suddenly this group of kids in Greenville, South Carolina are saying that a clown was trying to lure them in the woods, but in perfect 2016 fashion, it was not with candy, but with large amounts of cash.
Oh,
capitalism.
So that these clowns flashed green lasers at them, came to their door in the night, rattling chains and banging around.
He left a trail of Tide Pods in the woods for them
exactly.
to follow. Very 2016.
Anyway, of course, in classic fashion, the mom of one of the children sort of fuels this by contacting the local news and coming on, and they interview a lot of the children who are, again, like about 7 years old, and it's so cute. And you know, he's like, and then I saw a clown in the woods and he pointed at me. It's just really
That's
darling.
So cute.
But the mother is like, she might as well be leading like some new coalition against clowns. She's like a mad, like, mothers against drunk driving thing going on.
Mothers against forest clowns.
Exactly. So she reports it. So then more and more people start reporting it because it's on the news, right? And so one woman says there's a clown with a blinking nose near a dumpster. But I kind of think it's just this weird attention thing, right? Like the poison Halloween candy, you have people jamming tacks into candy and then putting it on Facebook, right? And it gets like 40,000 shares or something.
Is there any evidence that there were ever any actual clowns?
There is no evidence, but I think that some of it had to be, because if I was a teenager and this was going on, there's a part of me that might have like done some jokes.
Well, this is the thing is, yeah, if we're in the middle of like a clown panic, it actually makes a lot of sense to go dress as a clown and fuck with people.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that happened. So basically those same children that kind of were the first ones in South Carolina told police that a clown lived in a house near a pond at the end of a trail through the woods, which is so fantastically fairy tale.
That's a Thomas Kincaid painting. Yeah.
And so the police did find this property and found nothing clown related or threatening.
Yeah.
Anyway, it kept going, reporting clowns with knives, jumping out of abandoned houses and bushes, chasing kids from bus stops. Teenagers started making threats to schools, posing as evil clowns likely to get out of tests.
Oh my God, kids did that at my school too, but they used bomb threats.
Okay, so this is the best one. All right, so this woman said that she was smoking on her porch at 4 a.m. And a man wearing a striped outfit and a clown mask and a red wig walked directly up to her, grabbed her by the throat and said, "I should just kill you now." And then some students and teachers would wish they were never born at the junior and senior high school today.
The junior and senior high school?
Yeah. And then just walked away after that.
What?
So, yeah, that didn't happen.
The junior and senior high school, Mike.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's when people make up stories about criminals, you can often tell when something is sort of a myth made to circulate on Facebook, partly because the killer always, like, they don't kill you. They just say something scary and then leave or whatever.
Yeah.
It just, like, people explain themselves to you and don't just kill you and, like, say things that are meant to be scary to an audience, like something that you learned from a horror movie.
I cannot believe people fell for this.
So clowns become a way to get out of school. That's brilliant.
Do local news reporters, like, I do this thing sometimes where people send me a tip. And then I just don't do a story on it because it's fake. Do people not know that they could do that?
But Mike, like, if there is a killer clown out there and you didn't report on it, you'd feel pretty foolish after he did something terrible at the junior and senior high school.
My God.
Okay, so Penn State, 500 students at Penn State went on an actual clown hunt because claims that an evil clown had been spotted on campus. There are videos of this. I imagine it was partially a joke.
Right. But it's still something that people like know what it is and they're like, yay, woo.
Those kids did that to distract the cops from like the meth lab they had in their basement.
Dude, yeah.
It's obvious.
Okay, so Ronald McDonald was put on hiatus from all community events. It was this big of a deal.
Oh, in 2016?
Yep, and I don't know if he's been reinstated yet.
It's actually amazing to me that he's still around. I thought the killer clown thing would have done away with him years ago.
McDonald's is powerful.
Yeah, they need to rebrand. I mean, I hope they don't because I don't want them to do better, but
I think we need more of I don't know if he's Grimace or the Grimace, but that guy, the purple guy.
I can't believe all this was happening and I never heard about it in 2016.
It was a really eventful year, Mike.
There was a lot going on, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay. This got all the way to the White House when a reporter asked a White House spokesman, John Earnest, for President Obama's opinion on killer clowns. And this is what the White House spokesman said, quote, "I don't know that the president has been briefed on this particular situation. Obviously, this is a situation that law enforcement is taking quite seriously."
Come on.
Wow.
Fantastic. So another example, mom and daughter called the police on a 12-year-old boy who turned out to have autism spectrum disorder. And he was just looking to surprise his mom with his new Pennywise costume.
No.
Like, this is, can you look at a 12-year-old boy and realize that's a 12-year-old boy? And it's probably fine.
Don't call cops on 12-year-old boys, clown outfits or not.
Yeah.
And also, like, if I saw someone dressed like Pennywise, I wouldn't assume that they were Pennywise himself. Like, I would be like, oh, that person likes Pennywise and they're trying to be scary, like they're a kid or an egg lord.
Sometimes it's like, do people think that movies are real?
They do, Mike. I think they do.
A little girl in Athens, Georgia was actually arrested for bringing a knife to school to fight off supposed clowns. So things got bad, not because there were killer clowns, but because people were reacting far out of proportion to phantom clowns.
Oh, God.
So one thing that happened was a 16-year-old was stabbed to death by an older man. And we're not sure, you can't say for certain why, but he had a clown mask. He's wearing a clown mask.
Oh.
Wait, the one who got killed or the one who killed him?
The one who was killed. So it was possibly a reaction to the clown mask, but I can't say that definitively, so I don't want to put out any fake news.
What were the circumstances of this? Did they know each other?
They did not know each other. It's a little bit foggy, the extenuating circumstances, but here is a certainty. So going back to that South Carolina apartment building that kind of helped spark everything, men who lived there who were told that there were mysterious clowns in the woods started firing their guns into the woods when they heard noises that they could not explain.
Oh my God.
So we have like real danger coming out of this, but not the kind that everyone's expecting, right? Which is always the case with a moral panic.
And of people being like keyed up and ready to like shoot you or stab you.
It's so fucking weird.
Yes.
I want to interview one of these people. Like, do you actually think that there's men dressing up as clowns trying to kill children? Is that like the actual belief?
I want to know if they think that there are clowns with magical powers. Because like if someone's wearing a clown costume, they're just a person wearing a clown costume. Like I feel like people are treating clowns as some kind of a supernatural entity in these scenarios.
Right. If I was going to kidnap a child, I would not dress in a way that made myself extremely distinctive and memorable.
And also something that everyone is scared of already. It's like dressing up as Jason, you know, to try and like crash a fun party.
So did this ever get like debunked or did it just sort of fade away as we got distracted by other events in 2016?
It got debunked by Chelsea.
It faded away as everything does. I think poison Halloween candy is a great example of a really similar situation where the reports come out. And once they do get debunked, there no one's interested in reporting that, or it's a tiny little footnote.
Yeah.
What sticks is the sensational media reporting. Mm.
I feel like all of us sleep on the combination of fucking local news and Facebook as engines of radicalization.
Yes.
Because like we talk about like Fox News and stuff, and Fox News is bad, but it's so sort of like upfront, forwardly bad.
And we talk about 4chan.
Yeah, and 4chan and these other places that are like really obviously fucking terrible. There's a lot of people that are sort of savvy enough to know that Fox News is terrible and to not go on 4chan, but they're watching the fucking local news every night and they're seeing what their friends share on Facebook. And there's this like huge middle of people in America who are not getting radicalized by Fox News, but they're just absorbing what they think is credible media. And it's just fucking trash.
And what is it that's so bad about it? Because I feel like my experience watching local news is like every story, I'm like, why am I hearing about this?
Oh my God,
like, this seems like a weird thing for you to be telling me about. It's like not relevant to like, you know, public information that I need to know about like voting and like street cleaning and stuff like that. It seems like engineered to like scare me or be cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're behaving as if they ran out of stories when like obviously that's impossible. So like why are they talking about these things?
And it's so like there's so much propaganda that goes through local news.
Oh my God.
Just like police sources say 65 people were trapped in a trafficking sting. And then you later find out that it's like not 65, not a trafficking sting.
But they were people though. And it's piping police rhetoric just directly into people's homes, like without any kind of editorialization or anything.
Yeah. Without any context. Yeah. I mean, they still fucking do the razor blades and the apple.
Every year.
Like, that still goes around local news.
I swear you're going to be downloading it from Zoom this year.
Seriously.
You're 3D printing candy and it's going to be full of weed, you know? I like to think of local news as 1,000 ways to die and then one to help you sleep. So, like, it'll be like, there was a fire, a car crash, like, Antifa's coming into the suburbs, and then, like, here's a new quack medication to help you sleep. Someone helped ducks cross the road.
Yeah. Like, that's the format. It's just 29 minutes of murder and then you end with ducklings.
Yeah.
So speaking about the news, I think obviously part of this that we can't ignore is what was happening culturally in 2016. And I think it's really interesting that we had this, I mean, you can't not see clown in Donald Trump, right? He's so fake looking. His hair's insane. His coloring is insane.
He's meant to be seen from far away.
He's got this like oversized suit where his little tiny fingers poke out. Like he looks like a lot like a clown. And then at the same time, he's being rendered in magazines, political cartoons as a clown. Like that's one of the biggest ways mm-hmm. that people regard him, right? I think this is really fun. Anarchists actually created a billboard in the middle of the night. They painted over a billboard with Trump dressed as a clown with the words "clowns can get away with murder." He was actually specifically dressed as Pogo.
Oh wow.
Even to the point where Governor Gavin Newsom, you know, who loves to throw the punches, he compared Trump to Pennywise in a tweet.
Ugh.
You know.
Got him.
Got him.
I think the Donald Trump as clown thing is like very Oberlin.
Totally.
Like cultural studies PhD.
It is.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I like as somebody who spends a lot of time on Google Scholar, like for researching the show, there are those papers.
100%.
Like I came across one that was talking about how like the Beatles were so popular because there were four of them, you know, and there's like four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Oh my God.
And like
love.
Four like books of the Bible. And it was going through all this like symbolism of four.
Sure.
I read the whole fucking paper. It was like 70 pages long. I was like, yeah, like give it to me.
The last thing I thought would be fun to talk about was another clown sighting that came a little bit before the actual panic. This clown sighting and interaction with this cryptoid that would come to be known as Sam the Sandown Clown, that was seen by two children. I think they were 7 and 9, and this was around 4 p.m. and they were attracted to this area. They were on a golf course mm-hmm. and they heard wailing and they followed the noise and then it stopped. And then this clown came out of the bridge and they described him as about 7 feet tall. He looked wooden and mechanical and flesh at the same time is the way that these children described it. The first thing that came out was a hand wearing a blue glove, and I believe it only had 3 fingers. He couldn't communicate. His like words were all garbled. And at one point he used like one of those weird tape recorders with the microphone. Remember those? Where you could like talk into it and it would be loud,
yes.
But it was like for children. So he was trying to speak through that, but he couldn't really communicate. So they asked him to write like who he was on a piece of paper and why he could write.
So they're talking to a disembodied hand at the golf course.
No, sorry. The hand came first, then the clown, the 7 foot tall clown who was wood, mechanical, and flesh.
Yeah, Mike, keep up.
Sorry.
Keep up.
So they asked him who he was, and he introduced himself as All Colors Sam, or he said, I am All Colors.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Could this be someone who was just tripping balls? That's my theory.
For real.
And then they asked, are you a ghost? And he wrote, well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way. Mm. And they spent about 30 minutes hanging with this guy. They weren't terrified of him or anything. Mm-hmm. He lived in a metal shack, which they spent a little time in, and then he vanished.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the children didn't act afraid of this thing. But when we hear mm-hmm. a 6 foot tall flesh, wood, mechanical clown creature talking into a weird microphone, to us that's horrific and scary and weird. I don't know. I just think it's this interesting outlier that I'd never heard before.
Well, it's like a friendly killer clown scenario is what you mean? That it's like a nice story of people chatting with a dude who's tripping balls in an old suit?
What if these killer clowns are like Sweetums in the Muppet movie? These like spectral clowns that live in the forest that only want to hear the laughter of a child, and they're tortured by the fact that we keep running away from them and shooting at them.
That sounds scary though.
All right.
They sound like a mournful outsider artist sitting in their shack just like practicing clowning.
Yeah, it's Miranda July,
which is what I think a lot of this stuff is too. Like it's funny to me also that people aren't more cynical about, like, if you see a clown holding black balloons, like I would presume that to be a viral marketing campaign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's surprising to me that more people, yes. when they see something super weird, aren't just like, that's probably a viral marketing campaign.
Dude, last time I was in New York, I walked past a bar on the Lower East Side or something. It was like opening soon, a bar just for pregnant women. And it had like a photo of a woman, like a visibly pregnant woman sipping a martini. And it was like, this is very fucking obviously a viral marketing campaign that is like,
yes.
wanting us to get pissed and share that on Instagram. And then, of course, like 2 days later, it was like, viral marketing campaign comes to the Lower East Side. It's like, yeah, That was really fucking clear.
Doy.
To you.
Because I'm not on Facebook and I don't watch local news. It's actually kind of inspiring that the 2016 clown panic didn't result in a bunch of laws for like three strikes for clowns or some bullshit. Of like Georgie's law.
I feel like clowns have already been pretty marginalized and...
You know?
Yeah. I hope that a new dawn is breaking for the clowns of this nation.
Do you? I'm fine without clowns. I do not miss clowns.
Okay. Maybe this is another... Maybe this is better. I feel like maybe the era of us pretending that clowns are simple, wholesome figures rather than complex trickster characters is over, and maybe that's good.
Now, if only we could do the same thing for Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. And stop shooting guns into the forest.
Don't shoot guns into the forest.
That's the moral of the story, is don't shoot at imaginary things.
Chelsea, can you tell us about if people liked this episode, like what else do you talk about on your show?
Yeah,
we do so much of the similar things that you guys do. I mean, we cover everything from the Illuminati to quackery to the archetype of the redneck and how poor white people have been maligned by rich people forever. And we have a new season coming up. Mm. We're doing fake news, charismatic leaders, televangelists. But if you guys like this show, I find you guys very inspiring, and I think we're just kindred spirits kind of together in what we do. So
debunk mates.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know, more than debunking even, just sort of like, why, right? We want to know why.
We want to go into the scary forest.
We do. The haunted mansion.
All right. Don't shoot us. Yeah.
Don't shoot us in the haunted mansion. The fourth season of American Hysteria is coming in mid-October, but if you want a little more of us, come and follow us on social media, at American Hysteria Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at Amer Hysteria on Twitter. You can also go leave us what I hope would be a positive review on Apple, and that helps us out so much. You can also become a patron for extra content every month, and you can help support our show.